It's good to be out, and also very good to be able to park, and hopefully then if things work out really well next year, we won't have to concern ourselves with that at all. But thanks for the visitors for being here. We'll say the Martins are here. My brother, as he's already pointed out, my brother in Christ. I've known Steve for a long time, so it's good to have them with us as well as others, and we're thankful for that. And we do miss those that are away from us. We do have several that are traveling, and we pray for their safety. And I don't know, someone left me scissors up here. I don't know if it's so I could cut this shorter today or what the deal is. But... Glendon sent out a note about that. So I said, does that mean I can preach longer? And you can read Roger's response. Good to see Vivian back out. She's not been feeling well. And we're thankful that she's able to be with us this morning. In the Old Testament, it talks about the way of the transgressor. And when we look at this passage in Proverbs 13:15, depending on the version that you use, it talks about it differently. The American Standard Version says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. And if you look at the King James, it's similar. The New King James uses the word unfaithful, and the Revised Standard Version uses the word faithless. And that should be a message to us. And we, as Glenn was talking about in before one of the songs, he talked about the fact that we seem to have this situation where transgressing doesn't seem to be a problem anymore. When we look at that, we find that from this passage, though, that if a person would understand that, they would realize that it's a difficult path or it's a hard path to take if we transgress. Well, at first, we might look at someone in sin and it seems, well, their life is easy. Things aren't going really that bad for them. But as we look into the Scriptures, we can clearly see that there's difficulty in a sinful life. I've known several people that have lived a life of sin and the difficulties that come with that. And years later, when they would totally change their life, I've heard them make the statement that if I'd have known this back then, I wouldn't have lived that way. And I even know of people who never became Christians. A friend of mine made that statement. He said, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I sure would have changed the way I live my life. I wouldn't have done some of the things that I did. So, it is a hard life. Now, it may not appear on the surface. We might go to Moses because sin for a while is pleasurable when we do things that are contrary to God's will. But with God, we have solutions to life's problems. Even though life itself may have its difficulties, we know how to deal with them, and that's a big difference. With Satan and sin, the only solution is to follow either one's own way and decide how to do that, or to be led by others, and that's a problem. Because that's not letting the one that needs to lead our life, lead our life. The choice is ours. So let's look at this word a moment. I know that Roger Jr. has talked about this in the past in one of his verses that he likes to talk about transgressing and going beyond. And that's really what this word means. Depending on the Greek word, it can mean with just a transgressor. It's sometimes translated a word we don't use in our English language anymore. I don't know of anyone that goes along and says, well, you were a transgressor over the weekend. No one uses that word because it's just not a word we use. So we need to know the meaning of it. So it means to be without law, to be wicked, to be lawless, to be a breaker. Depending on the Hebrew word, means a treacherous dealer, an unfaithful man, rebellious, transgression. Again, words we don't commonly use in our English language. We just don't go around using these words. So what does he mean, the way of a transgressor is hard? Well, to transgress is used as a verb. It means to violate a law, a command, a moral code, etc., to offend, to sin. This is Rogers. To pass over is the more common one, or go beyond. As someone once said, when you put up a target and you say, you have to hit that target, and you can't hit that target, it means you've gone beyond that target. You've missed it one way or the other. You have not hit the target. So the idea behind this is that we have to make sure we hit the target all the time. To miss the target is to transgress. to go beyond the limit imposed by a law, a command, to violate, infringe. We're starting to understand now something very important. That the way of a infringer, a way of going beyond, is hard. If you do not live within the standards that God has set, then there's going to be difficulties with that. One of the difficulties is that when we start going beyond the will of God, we start infringing, we start determining ourselves what we want to do, we start coming up with our own authority, it never ends. You see, the problem is if you excuse one thing, then you have to excuse everything that goes with it. As someone has said many years ago, if you leave the barn door open, there's a good chance that all the animals are going to get out, and you can't stop them from getting out. Oh, we only meant for certain ones to come out. Well, that doesn't work that way. Churches have gotten so far away from God's Word that they are just continually getting further and further and further, because once they ceased following the authority of God, that was a problem. And that came from dictionary.com, that last one. And also, limits imposed violate and infringe. The bottom line lets us know this word shows a person who goes over or beyond the Word of God by refusing to comply with His commands or precepts. That is, they're not happy with what it says. They're not happy with what's been imposed. So they choose to do what they want to. And once they have decided to do that, they have themselves a problem. So, it would be like going beyond our property line without permission. With that in mind, let's look further in this idea of being a transgressor. To transgress, there must be boundaries. You can't transgress or trespass unless there's boundaries set. Now, what happens with this is typically areas are platted. Now, it doesn't matter if they're small like this or large. I don't care how much you would like to have an extra foot on your property. It is not yours. If you go beyond a boundary line and say it's yours, you have trespassed or transgressed. Now, we had a friend of ours who built a pole barn. He didn't like the fact that his neighbor was letting the grass grow up, and he thought, well, maybe he just doesn't want to take the time to mow it. So he decided that he would just mow some of it for him. And that neighbor got so upset about that and threatened him and said, don't you ever come across the property line again. That's my property. And that's true. It was. But he didn't mean anything by it. He was trying to help out. Doesn't this sound familiar when we deal with God's Word? I'm just helping God out. I'm just doing some things. I'm giving a few little lifeboats here. I'm taking care of things. No. We don't go across that line without permission. And we never, with God, have permission to go across that line. We're restricted within the boundaries that He has set. And once we transgress that, trespass over, we've done wrong. There's some boundaries. Just like there's boundaries around our property, there's boundaries around spiritual things. How many boundaries are there? Well, James 2:10, in the discussion of some things that were going on that were wrong, he starts out the chapter talking about partiality. And he says, you do not be partial. But can't I be a little bit partial? Can I transgress a little bit? Can I go over that a little bit? Well, he goes on down and he says, you can. And you, talking to those brethren there, he said, you have. You've transgressed. You've gone beyond. And you have every right to do that, but you're going to pay for it, because he said there's no difference in partiality in murder. There's no difference in partiality in adultery. Wow, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Well, of course there is. Partiality can't be wrong because I'm partial. Well, yeah, it is wrong because he said it was wrong. So if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you're guilty of all. Now, there was only one written law at the time. James was the first writer of the New Testament. But he's even talking about any law from God. If you go and do something different than what He's already told you, and you keep it all, but you offend in one point, that is, you determine some things you want to do on the basis of what you want to do on one point, you're guilty of all. That should really make us think. We just sang a song about take my hand and lead me home. If we want Him to lead us home, we have to really think about this. We have to think about the fact we need to keep it all. How much of it? Well, Christ was trying to make a point to them. I do not believe in any way Christ was saying some laws are that God had given, He being a part of that in the Old Testament. Well, they're not that important, as He's talking to these Jews. That, you know, there's some less important ones. But what He says is, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. It lets us know that what people might consider, you know, minor laws of God, just those least ones, those aren't that important. But every law He's given us is important. We sometimes think in our minds, well, you know, there's just certain things that aren't all that important. Like, for instance, we're told to lay by and store on the first day of the week. But really, that's not all that important. That'll be taken care of. I don't need to do that. Or pick one that you like, or certain things out in the world. Oh, I need to provide for my family. Well, that's not all that important. I'll just live off of the government for the rest of my life. Those things are important. We now are restricted to one law. Every person on the face of this earth, whether they want to comply with it or not, are restricted to one law and one law only in a spiritual sense. It's a new law that was given. It's the law of Christ. It's not according to that law that He gave them. He gave a new law in Hebrews 8. That law must be followed. Well, why are there boundaries? Who cares, right? Well, there's boundaries in your neighborhood because it would create a major problem if there's not stakes there and you know where your property lines are. You would be on your neighbor's property, or your neighbor would be on your property, and pretty soon there would be no boundaries whatsoever. People would just do what they want to do. And that's happened in the past, and people have been killed over going across boundaries. Boundaries are set in every aspect of our life. Every young person in this room has boundaries. They have boundaries in their home, they have boundaries in the school, they have boundaries where they work. Every person a little bit older than that has boundaries in the home. They're all there. We have boundaries. We do not go outside those boundaries, and once we go outside of them, we pay for it. Why? Because they keep order. Well, humans struggle. They have a major problem. They don't want to believe, first of all, in God. I'm just amazed. Every time it seems like I turn the TV on, it is something to do with the fact that there is no God. It is as if they've determined they're going to prove this point, and they'll do it any way that they can. So what they start trying to tell us, there is no God. And once that boundary is taken away, you literally have opened up everything you want to open up. In Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. And he says, they've all turned aside. They've all become corrupt. There's none who does good. Now, was he saying there was nobody back in those days that tried to follow God? Of course not. But as a rule, people, the first thing they do when they want to do what they want to do, they take God out of the equation. I've heard people make statements about a local church. Well, the elders have a right to make that decision. They do not have a right to make a decision that's not based on the Word of God. Well, the father has a right to make that decision at home. He does not have a right to make a decision that's not based on the Word of God. In Deuteronomy 6:24, he said that law has always been set up for our good. And for our good always. That's why law was set up. That's why the Mosaic law was put in place. A law that he knew they would not keep. But it was set up for their good. When you set those standards, and there are standards to be kept. On Friday night, Larry Curry at Bath Road talked about the home. When there are standards, and you understand those standards, and you follow exactly what God says, it works. You quit following those standards, and look what happens to the world. Look what happens to the family. Look at the breakdown of the family. Look at all that's happened since they have determined that those things aren't for our good, and we're not going to follow them. And the truth is, it'll prolong our days. We have been studying in Deuteronomy 6:2, that's what he said, it would prolong the days. And we could use the example of children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. It will prolong your days, he says in Ephesians 6. But you think about this for a moment. We have been studying the Old Testament on Wednesday night. Every time we study one of those examples, it should send chills down our backs. Because we look at a group of people who should have been following God. We've been studying about the Israelites, and in Ezra in particular recently. And every time I look at that, we see that same pattern over and over again. They get just a little bit of this world's goods. They get life easy. They start taking things, and what happens to them? Well, they quit following God. They just quit. They won't go back to following God. And I think about this, and so their days were not going to be prolonged. And Ezra's so concerned about this, he's begging for the mercy of God. And that's what we should be doing as well. Well, who sets these? Who sets these rules? Let's look at Luke 4. When Christ was led into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan, how did he answer Satan on everything that Satan directly tempted him with? Well, one of the things that he tempts him with is about making some bread, something for him to eat, since he hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And he simply makes a statement, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made into bread. Which seems okay on the surface. You have a man who's hungry, who has the power to make bread from stones. He can do this. He's going to do it later on. He's going to make so much food that there's going to be food left over. Not a problem for him at all. That's not the problem. He submitted himself to the will of the Father when he came to this earth. So as a result of that, since he did not have a directive and he had submitted himself from the Father to do this, he quotes this passage of Scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If you do not have a directive, even about food, then you cannot do it on the basis of that's something I want to do. Isn't that interesting? A necessity of life. This is a necessity to have food. But he is not allowed to miraculously make this food for himself. He has to go by the words of God. Now, what's this quoted from? It's quoted from back when they were taking up the manna. God gave directions about how they could do that. And you would think they would, wow, they would have done it exactly the way God said. But they won't do it. But he will. And that's the difference. He lived perfectly. They did not. And he's saying, you can't. You've got to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The words then would come from the Holy Spirit, we find. As the Holy Spirit delivers these words, they are perfect. These words are complete. There are nothing else needful. And in John 16, 12 through 15, Christ said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. That's the boundaries. All of it. Oh, you mean I can't do something out here? Absolutely not. You mean I can't shoot over or shoot under? No. You did not hit the target. And he says he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. That is, or on his. It doesn't matter. None of the Godhood or Godhead were going to do anything separate and apart from one another. They were all doing exactly what they needed to do to make sure we have what we need today. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take care of mine and declare it to you. Is he saying I'm greater than the Holy Spirit here? No. He's just simply saying we're all working together on this. None of us are going to do anything different from one another. All of us are accomplishing the same purpose in life for you. And it's comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. The Holy Spirit makes sure that people can understand what he writes. And I don't know how. I was driving down the road the other day and I was thinking about God, deity. I can't even get close to a concept. It's just not possible. I can read God's Word. I can look at creation. I can look at all these things and I still can't get it. I mean, it's just impossible that I can understand that a being can know everything there is to know about me, can know everything there is to know about every molecule of everything that's been created. Not just part of the time. All the time. Perfectly. That's just not possible for me to understand. So in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16, "But as written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that have been prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're not spiritually, because they are spiritually discerned." That is, you want to stay carnal, you'll never understand the spiritual things. How can I understand these spiritual things? By looking into God's Word and understanding it. I have to go to the Word of God. I have to pray to God for understanding and wisdom to be able to use these things. "But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We have it. Isn't that an amazing thing? We have the mind of Christ. Do we have the entire mind of Christ? We have the mind of Christ that we need. We have the things that are necessary for us. And He is that authority. All authority has been given to Him. And we have to follow Him. Back in Acts 2, He is the one we must follow. He's the one that will tell us all things. I said 2, I meant that should be Acts 3. In Acts 3, Moses truly said to the followers, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from the brethren. Him you shall hear in some things, and then there will be others sin." That's not what it says. "You will hear him in all things, whatever he says to you, and it shall come to pass that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." That's power. That's amazing. That is everything. So Christ has set those boundaries for our salvation. He set them. I don't have a right to change them. I don't have a right to tell you, don't do this or don't do that on the basis of what I think. As Cody prayed this morning that I would teach things that would be from my memory, that would be according to God's will, well, I hope I've done that. Christ is the one that died for our sins. He set that as the ultimate sacrifice for sin. He let us know that He followed everything that He'd been sent to this earth to do. He left nothing undone. He died on that cross as He had said He would die on that cross, as He had told His apostles He would die on that cross for us, for our sins. So He asked us to have faith in that. He asked us to believe today that He is the Son of God and that He died for our sins on the cross. If you heeded the boundaries that He set, well, He set some pretty tight boundaries. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned." That's exactly what they preached in Acts 2. And as Christians, we need to constantly correct our lives. Get back on track. Once we trespass over those boundaries, we need to get back where we need to be if we want to expect Him to be pleasing to us. Would you please stand?